Everything then being disposed and fixed for Mr. Norbert's reception, he was, at the hour of 11 at night, with all the mysteries of silence and secrecy, led in by Mrs. Cole herself, and introduced into her bedchamber, where, in an old-fashioned bed of hers, I lay, fully undressed and panting, if not with the fears of a real maid, at least with those perhaps greater of a dissembled one, which gave me an air of confusion and bashfulness that maiden modesty had all the honour of, and was indeed scarce distinguishable from it. As soon as Mrs. Cole had left us alone in her room, which, by the by, was well lighted up, at his previous desire, that seemed to bode a stricter examination that he afterwards made, Mr. Norbert, still dressed, sprung towards the bed, where I got my head under the clothes, and defended them a good while before he could even get at my lips to kiss them. So true it is that a false virtue, on this occasion, even makes a greater rout and resistance than a true one. From thence he descended to my breasts. The feel I disputed tooth and nail with him, till, tired with my resistance, he hurried his clothes off in an instant, and came into bed. Meanwhile, by the glimpse I stole of him, I could easily discover a person far from promising any such doughty performances as the storming of maidenheads generally requires. As soon as he was in bed, he threw off the bedclothes, and I now lay as exposed as he could wish. My shift, then, he fairly tore open, finding I made too much use of it to barricade my breasts, as well as the more important avenue. Yet in everything else, he proceeded with all the marks of tenderness in regard to me, whilst the art of my play was to show none for him. I acted then all the niceties, apprehensions, and terrors supposable for a girl perfectly innocent to feel at so great a novelty as a naked man in bed with her for the first time. He scarce even obtained a kiss but what he ravished. I put his hand away 20 times from my breasts, where he had satisfied himself of their hardness and consistence, with passing for hitherto unhandled goods. But when grown impatient for the main point, he now threw himself upon me, and first, trying to examine me with his finger, sought to make himself further way. I complained of his usage bitterly, and at the same time kept my thighs so fast locked that it was not for strength like his to force them open, or do any good. Finding thus my advantages, and that I had both my own and his motions at command, the deceiving him came so easy that it was perfectly playing upon velvet. In the meantime, his machine, which was one of those sizes that slip in and out without being minded, kept pretty stiffly bearing against that part which the shutting my thighs barred access to. But finding at length he could do no good by mere dint of bodily strength, he resorted to entreaties and arguments. Pretending to yield at length to the vehemence of his insistence in action and words, I sparingly disclosed my thighs, so that he could just touch the cloven inlet with the tip of his instrument. But as he toiled to get it in, a twist of my body, so as to receive it obliquely, not only thwarted his admission, but giving a scream as if he had pierced me to the heart, I shook him off me with such violence that he could not, with all his might to it, keep the saddle. Fired, however, he remounts, and begged of me to have patience, stroking and soothing me to it by all the tenderest protestations of what he would moreover do for me. And, after repeated attempts, in which he had not made the least impression towards gaining his point, the pleasure rose so fast upon him that he could not check or delay it, and in the vigour and fury which the approaches of the height of it inspired him, he made one fierce thrust, and lodged it so far that I could feel the warm inspersion just within the exterior orifice, which I had the cruelty not to let him finish there, but threw him out again, not without a most piercing loud exclamation, as if the pain had put me beyond all regard of being overheard. It was easy then to observe that he was more satisfied, more highly pleased with the supposed motives of his bulk of consummation than he would have been at the full attainment of it. Relieved by one discharge, he now applied himself to soothe, encourage, and to put me into humour and patience, to bear his next attempt, which he began to prepare and gather force for, from all the incentives of the touch and sight which he could think of. By examining every individual part of my whole body, which he declared his satisfaction with in raptures of applauses, kisses, universally imprinted, and sparing no part of me in all the eagerest wantonness of feeling, seeing, and toying. His vigour, however, did not return so soon, and I felt him more than once pushing at the door, but in so little a condition to break in that I question whether he had the power to enter. And it was deep in the morning before he achieved his second let go, about halfway of entrance. I, all the while, crying and complaining of his prodigious vigour and the immensity of what I appear to suffer splitting up with. Tired, however, at length, with such athletic drudgery, my champion began now to give out, and to gladly embrace the refreshment of some rest. Kissing me then with much affection, and recommending me to my repose, he presently fell fast asleep, which, as soon as I had well satisfied myself of, I, with much composure of body, so as not to wake him by any motion, with much ease and safety too, played of Mrs. Cole's advice for perfecting the signs of my virginity. In each of the head bedposts, just above where the bedsteads are inserted into them, there was a small drawer, so artfully adapted to the mouldings of the timberwork that it might have escaped even the most curious search, which drawers were easily opened or shut by the touch of a spring, and were fitted each with a shallow glass tumbler, full of a prepared fluid blood, in which lay soaked, ready for use, a sponge, that required no more than gently reaching the hand to it, taking it out, and properly squeezing between the thighs, when it yielded a great deal more of the red liquid than would save a girl's honour. After which, replacing it and touching the spring, all possibility of discovery, or even of suspicion, was taken away. And all this was not the work of the fourth part of a minute. And on whichever side one lay, the thing was equally easy and practicable by the double care taken to have each bedpost provided alike. True it is, that had he waked and caught me in the act, it would at least have covered me with shame and confusion. But then, that he did not, was, with the precautions I took, a risk of 1,000 to 1 in my favour. In about half an hour's time, my gentleman waked again, and turning towards me, I feigned a sound sleep, which he did not long respect, but girding himself again to renew the onset, he began to kiss and caress me. When now making as if I just waked, I complained of the disturbance, and of the cruel pain that this little rest had stolen my senses from. He said everything that could overcome my resistance, which not I was ready to listen to, from being secure of the bloody proofs I had prepared of his victorious violence, though I still thought it good policy not to let him in yet a while. I answered then only to his importunities in sighs and moans that I was so hurt I could not bear it. At this, turning down the clothes, he saw plainly my thighs, shift, and sheets, all stained with what he readily took for a virgin effusion, proceeding from his last half-penetration. The illusion was complete. No other conception entered his head but that of his having been at work upon an unopened mine. Which idea, upon so strong an evidence, redoubled at once his tenderness for me, and his ardour for breaking it wholly up. By little and little I suffered myself to be prevailed on, and made my thighs yield him liberty of access, which, improving, he got a little within me, and by dexterous wreathing and contortions, creating an artificial difficulty of entrance, made him win it inch by inch, till at length, winding his way in, he got it completely home, and giving my virginity, as he thought, the coup de grace, furnished me with the cue of setting up a terrible outcry. Whilst I now lay acting the deep, wounded, breathless, frightened, undone, no longer made.